This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I don't watch a celebrity. In a way, I guess you were talking about your own celebrity because you had talked about how you had made people celebrities themselves. You launched people.
Is there any point that you launched me?
What are you doing Thursday and Friday this week?
I'll be in Bristol.
All right, so I feel like I've launched you.
See, I feel like I'm launching you, though.
Where am I going? I'm launching you. I'm like Musk. I'm launching you.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
You're a weasel because you don't want to be on the line for anything.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, we finally got some answers from DPHRO. DPHRO Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. Rangers in six, right? You think Rangers in six?
Yeah, I'm going to give them. I'll give Pittsburgh some well-deserved respect. The Crosby's, Letang's, Coach, Malkin. But, I mean, I think this is, they could, I mean, they could win five.
That'd be better.
Of course, we'll be better.
Little stress off. Rangers in six. Now, we'll get to the baseball in just a moment. I want to just see where we are as a show. Are we going to any Rangers playoff games as a show?
I would say probably not this week, no.
Yeah, I can't go this week either.
Yeah, but not this week, but I would. I'll say this, though. When RJ asked the question, because he's still hammering at home, like he thinks it's going to be a failure if they don't win the series.
You're still with this, RJ? You think it's a failure?
It would be a show failure. It would be a show failure if we don't get to a game.
You don't know that you're going to get this other home game pass this week. You can't take that for granted.
You think they're going to get swept?
Not at all. But you never know.
Sweep the Penguins.
Yeah, they could do the sweeping.
And then if they do the sweeping, then what happens?
Yeah, we'll have another.
Then they move on to another round.
Santiago?
Raymond. I'm just talking about you don't know which way the series can go. Anything can happen. It's the playoffs.
You just answered the question. If they get swept, then it's a failure.
If they got swept
by Pittsburgh, it's a failure.
Yes, that would be an embarrassing. It would be embarrassing if you get swept by
Pittsburgh. You're burying the lead. I'm talking about you guys are assuming that they're, you know.
Yes, I'm assuming the series goes five, correct.
And then what happens? We get next week and you don't want to go to the Garden. No, we'll push it back.
I didn't say anything about next week.
I'm just getting out ahead of it. You don't want to commit.
I can't, it's not that I don't want to. I cannot go tonight, and I cannot go on Thursday of this week.
And whose fault is that?
It's Ben. You want to blame someone? Blame Ben. He has baseball games both nights.
No, don't blame Ben.
All right. I'm not. I could be RJ, where I commit, and then I call you up Thursday morning. I'm like, all right, guys, I can't go to the game.
Guess who's,
I could just be honest about it.
Guess who's available? It's a playoffs. This is when your best is required. Is this your best? It's not good enough.
So,
well, you realize that one of Dave's hobbies is parenting. So, I mean, it's something that he.
Yes, I take parenting as a tremendous hobby.
Listen, this is all on you at this
baseball
point.
Baseball card collecting and parenting.
If you're willing to let the playoffs go by and we maybe not make it to a game, then the blame will shift to you.
It's on you at this point.
But I'm not willing to let the playoffs go by without happening. I'm willing to let games one and two go by without us going.
Well, here's the problem. What if we run into the next round? And the same issue persists.
The season will be over.
What if Ben has games for the next round?
He doesn't. The season is over.
Okay.
He's done next week. So I like how you're trying to come up with these Sophie's Choice questions, which don't even pertain to the situation.
I'm just saying, I don't trust you. RJ says he's available. You know where I'm going to be.
And we know what it means when
RJ's available.
You know
where I'm going to be for every single Rangers game. You know where I'm at. So it's on you at this point.
Wait, first of all, Is Rick not a part of this? Rick, can you go tonight or Thursday?
No, I can't.
All right.
I'm working Thursday.
Okay.
So I can't go Thursday.
So why are you not here defending me, saying, guys, I can't go either this week?
Because he enjoys watching you squirm.
I'm not squirming.
How many people can talk at the same time? I mean, all four of us can't talk at the same time. I mean, I know I can't go either. I'm up in Bristol on Thursday.
All right. So we'll either go game five or game seven.
Or we'll go to the next round when they
win. Or we'll go to the next round. Series. That's right. I guarantee you that we go to a playoff game this postseason. Promise.
So we don't have to worry. It's us. It's the three of us because Santiago was contractually obligated to be at all these games.
Yeah, you're going
to
be there anyway. Now, will you come visit us, Raymond, and spend some time?
Of course I will.
Okay.
Can't spend a tremendous amount of time with you, but I'll be there.
What happens if Don poops his pants? Like, what now? That you have to. Where do you go for pants? Is the question.
I may have to like knock on the booth next door and ask Chris Drury where he keeps.
Do you worry about Don? Like you're Don's producer, right? You're the guy that keeps an eye on everything going on. Do you bring like a Depends? Is there something like
that? I've literally never considered this. I've never thought of this as something that could happen.
Because wouldn't you, Rick? Wouldn't you agree? A great producer would have every I dotted. Like Don's like, oh God,
listen,
like what?
Listen, I don't know.
It happened again. Oh, I have wipes.
I don't know what the situation is in Calgary, but I'm pretty sure that Donnie can access the bathrooms on either end of the Chase Bridge if he really needed to go. I think he would be okay.
Yeah, but what if he's in a moment? Like, what he's calling the game, all of a sudden he has a little little rumble in the stomach, and then he thinks he's going to just sneak one out, and then before you know it,
he lets loose on a little more.
We're going to see what Dave Maloney sounds like on play-by-play. That's what we're going to find out.
Is there any way you would ever jump in?
I no way.
Race Maloney can't do play-by-play.
What if you had to clean up? See, what you should do as a great producer is you would actually, while Don was still doing play-by-play, you would clean him up.
You're patting him.
I do not think his bottom. I do not think that falls in my job description.
I think you pull out the wipes, the extra suit pants, and I think you clean him up while he's doing the play-by-play. So he doesn't skip a beat.
Yeah! That's the kind of professional you are. All right. Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. It feels really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless. Now they're offering, listen to this, the $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot. 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Let's get back to the local baseball teams. Yankees, that's a terrific win last night. Listen, I think if you are anti-Yankee, and I'm anti-Yankee, and I think you know that, right? But I think if you're anti-Yankee, you look, you say Kansas City, Cleveland, Baltimore, I mean, laughingstock of baseball. But to go in there last night and no Chapman available, and Torres has been somewhat quiet this season, and to win that game 3-2 and have the bullpen lock it down again and Glaber to come up with big hits, that's a big win from the Yankees.
It absolutely is a big win, and that's 10 in a row. Because I think you're right. I think there were a lot of people that, I mean, even Yankees fans that aren't fully on board with this team yet said, okay, you know, 9 wins, but who did you play? So now you're going up against one of the best teams in the American League, and you want to see how you stack up. And you mentioned it. I mean, Stanton makes an unbelievable play in right field, and it's great to see him play in right field because I think that's the best, that's the most versatile lineup you can have is when he plays right field. So that's good to see. And then you mentioned Gleyber Torres. I mean, he has the 2-run home run, then he has the game winning, you know, RBI single to right field, which I think is a positive sign for him. Made a great defensive play. Mm-hmm. LeMahieu makes a bad throw to second. He makes a great scoop, and then you had Green come in for the save. And I thought that Clay Holmes did a really good job last night.
But they're all good. I mean, one is better than the next in that bullpen. I've said this numerous times, and this is my stance. I've never seen a better bullpen with this much depth than the Yankees have right now. I've seen great bullpens. I've seen lights-out guys. They have, I mean, how many guys do they have in this pen? They're like, he's good, he's good, he's good. 8 guys?
Well, I would say at this point, I mean, it's almost like all of them. I mean, RJ mentioned Chapman just because he makes you nervous sometimes.
But he's still good.
Well, he's still good, but there are times when he's not, right? Like, he'll lose the strike zone. I don't think that Loaisiga's been as dominant as he was last year.
Well, he has not, but he's still good. Like, Loaisiga doesn't come in the game and you're like, oh, no.
Well, no, I don't think they have anyone like that.
Yeah, but that's they got to be the only team in baseball not to have a guy that doesn't give you, you know, real concern.
Well, I mean, just speaking as a Mets fan, I know there's a couple guys coming out of our bullpen that I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, there's a bunch of them.
So, yeah, I mean, that's usually the case. But, I mean, when you look at their bullpen and what they throw out there consistently, I mean, they had Green close the game last night. You had Castro pitch, got himself into a little bit of a jam. You know, Holmes comes in, cleans that up. Michael King has been phenomenal.
He's terrific.
And then I think the other big play, I mean, the other big the big positive from last night is that when you're in a situation where you were in last night, where the game's tied at 2, Stanton gives you the leadoff single, the fact that you can bring in LeCastro and everyone in Toronto knows why he's on first base.
And there's nothing you can do to stop it.
And he still finds a way to steal second is huge.
Huge. Huge. And you know what? Right now, if I offer this to the Yankees fan, they would take it every day of the week. And that's a tie game in the eighth inning. because you like your chances more than every other team when you get late innings in a tie game because your bullpen is just better than the other bullpens.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, I'm sure that's part of the mindset. Have great at-bats, let's get into the bullpen, and we feel good about it. My only concern with that would be, and we've seen this the last couple years, is just the over-reliance on the bullpen. Because a piece of me, listen, I mean, here's what I'll say. Like, a piece of me, it's May 2nd, and you know what drives me crazy when you see kind of like this nonchalant attitude as far as, you know, okay, you know, we don't want to use our high leverage guys because, you know, we'll live to, you know, live to fight another day. It's only, you know, early May. But I think, I mean, Aaron Boone, there was a sense of urgency last night.
Well, there should be.
This is a big game.
I mean, this is the team. I heard Kay yesterday, and I think he used the phrase, he's all geeked up about this. This is a big series against Toronto.
Yeah, and I think he managed accordingly. I mean, Montgomery was pitching pretty good, but, I mean, first sign, guy threw 65 pitches. First sign, he's like, okay, you're out.
I mean, who is the one team that you look at and say you fear the most right now in this division?
In this division? It's the Blue Jays.
Right. So you're going up against Toronto. You've played them, what? You played them four times already.
And now you
split those at home, and now you get them three, and you've already won the first game. So, yeah, this is a huge series for the Yankees.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's been times in the past that hasn't been something that's been recognized, though.
Well, it should be.
Well, and I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, this is kind of like a little bit of a statement series.
This is a big series. I mean, there is no resting Aaron Judge in this series. I think that'd be an embarrassment. And it feels like there is an impetus to go out and win the series. And it should be.
Guys stealing bases last night. Good defense.
It's what you want to see. It's what you want to see.
It's just good baseball.
It is. And the Mets last night, a chance to really have some separation with Atlanta. They lost last night, 5-2 the final there. 2 today for the price of 1, 310, and then like 640 a little bit later than that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All of your Yankees concerns are gone or no?
All of my Yankees concerns?
Yeah, because you had some issues with the Yankees. You said they were kind of redundant, not all that athletic, right? You had some things to say.
Well, I don't still think, I still don't think they're overly athletic. I mean, you tell me outside. I mean, Connor Falefa. That's it. Le Castro.
But he's not an everyday player.
No, but he's definitely a weapon off the bench, especially in spots like that. I mean, they're trying. I mean, Judge stole a base. LeMahieu stole a base. So they're trying to incorporate that into their game. I like the fact that there's been some consistency finally with the top of their lineup. I think that's important, especially. I think that's important in baseball. Like, I don't know how many former Major League Baseball players, you need to hear that from before it's like, okay, I mean, there must be something to that.
Well, it's important.
I don't care. I mean, say what you want about Alex Rodriguez. I mean, you can like him, you can hate him, whatever you, I mean, however you feel about him, but he's still one of the greatest to ever play the sport. Like, and he tells you there's something to be said about coming into the clubhouse knowing, okay, this is where I'm playing and this is where I'm going to be in the lineup every day.
Well, you've had a little more of that from the Yankees lately.
You have, and I think it's paid off.
And I think it's important. I do. And by the way, Judge is going to get paid this offseason.
I'll be interested to see. We'll have Buster on at some point. I'll be interested to see what he thinks now.
He's going to get paid.
Who, though? Because as far as Buster was concerned, he was done with the Yankees.
And you think that there's a real chance he's going to return? I think he's probably done with the Yankees. Unless they up that offer, I don't see him going back to the Yankees.
Well, of course they're going to have to. I mean, if he's healthy this season, I mean, you see what he does when he's healthy. I mean, he'll be in the MVP conversation, so he's going to get paid. I just don't know, like, if he has the kind of season that you're hoping, so you can actually compete to win a World Series, and he's recognized as your captain. I mean, how do you? That'll be 2 years in a row where he's shown you that he can stay healthy. I don't know how you don't pay him. He's actually one of your homegrown guys,
right? And you got to figure if he has a great year, you're going to probably wind up having a great year as well.
I would imagine, yeah. And the fact that, I mean, he's shown his versatility too. Like even he plays a good center field.
I'm telling you, that arm in right field or wherever it is.
It's deadly. It's deadly and it's accurate and it's effortless.
It's one of the great arms I've ever seen,
dude. It's effortless, man, and it's on a line.
And he can go from any. He can go from the warning track in right field to third base. Like it is special. You're right. It is unbelievable. Let's go to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Eric in Saddlebrook. Good morning, Eric. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Love listening to you while I'm taking my kid to school every day. Real quick, Dave, regarding the concern. I've been a Yankee fan for like 45, 46 years, so I've seen the best of times, the worst of times. I don't have concern. I'm usually the ultimate optimist this time of year, but after the last few years of watching us not be able to get runners and scoring runners and from scoring position and striking out in big spots, I do have some concern. And we only beat 9 out of 10 games. We haven't beat any good teams yet. So if we're sweeping the Dodgers and the Mets and the Blue Jays, I would not have any concern. But you know, let's see how this weekend goes. Let's see how we do against the Rays coming up, and then go from there. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show, and hopefully I'll talk to you guys again soon.
All right. Well, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks for the kind words as well. Listen, I think you have to start to change your view, right? Even if you were negative on the Yankees, how could you not begin to change your view about what they are?
Here's the thing, though. I think the Yankees are in one of those spots where they're going to be judged more on what happens in the postseason than they will be, because I think everyone expects them to make the playoffs.
Yes. The regular season for the Yankees is about positioning. The postseason is where you make your money, right?
Because I guess his concern would be, can you know in that situation that we're talking about, the postseason, in a series against a good team that has good pitching, will the Yankees be able to hit?
Because we had the conversation before, is it a failure if the Rangers lose to Pittsburgh? I don't think a failure. I don't think you think so. RJ says maybe failure, whatever. If the Yankees don't win a playoff series, that's a failure.
Yeah.
That's a failure.
I agree with that.
I don't care who you play. I don't care how many wins you have in the regular season. I don't care who's healthy and not. If they don't win at least one, maybe even more, this is a failure. This is supposed to be the era of the Yankees winning championships. You haven't won any. If you don't, I mean, you could almost say go to the World Series. Like, you need to really make a run this postseason, and you're right. The regular season is window dressing. The postseason is where you make your money.
Yeah, but that's where the Yankees are at. Like, it's not supposed to be a surprise. Like, it was, like, I mean, you mentioned the Rangers. Like, the Rangers are a good team, but no one expected the Rangers to have the kind of season that they had.
No. And so, this is premature. This is like the Yankees a couple years ago, right, when they went on that run. And it was like, nobody expected this. That's what feels like the Rangers are right now.
But, every expectation is at the very least the Yankees will be in the playoffs, and then, you know, we'll judge it from there.
If they don't go to the playoffs, people need to lose their jobs. But I don't even think that's really up for debate. You need to win playoff series.
They got to get to they have to get to the World Series at some point here. I mean, they haven't been, winning one. They haven't been to one since 2009.
Correct.
So, it's been a while. Like, you want to set the agenda as we're more concerned about winning championships and not a championship, then, well, at least get to a World Series.
Is it now? So you have to win three rounds?
Well, depending on your record, right? Like, you get that, there's the teams with the bye, and then you get the wild card round.
Right. So what is it? One team gets a bye?
I think it's the top. Isn't it the top team?
The top two get a bye?
I hate when you ask questions like this.
Well, how many, RJ, get a bye? Two. Top so two get a bye. And it can't be in the same division, right? It has to be two division winners that get a bye.
I know it's division winners, yeah.
Right, okay. So it's the top two get a bye, and then three plays six, four plays five.
in so, best yeah, of three series.
And then the top two move on. Right. So 3 through 6 would have to win 3 series. 1 and 2 would have to win 2 series to get to the World Series.
Yes.
And then the second round, like when after 3, 6, 4, 5 have played, that second round is a best of 5?
So I'm looking at it right now. So it breaks down as follows. So the number one seed is the best league record. The number 2 seed is second best division winner.
Okay.
Number 3 is third best division winner. And then 4, 5, and 6 are the best records among non-division winners.
Okay.
So that's how that works.
Okay. So and then 3, 6, 4, 5 is a best of 3.
It's the best of 3.
Okay. And now when we move on to that next round, it's best of 5, right?
The division series?
Yes.
I mean, these have been questions you could ask me before the show.
Well, I didn't know I was going to have this question. This is kind of a spur
of the
moment question.
So maybe don't ask it.
But you're knowledgeable, so I thought you'd have this at your fingertips. I believe the division series is 5, and then the championship series and World Series are 7.
I know that.
Is my understanding. Well, you'll find it. It's okay. All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we break? We'll find out the information. We'll bring on Mel Kiper Jr. We'll recap the draft. We'll put you in a good mood because we'll deep into the Jets, and we'll get into the Giants, and I think we'll ask about next year's draft as well.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We love him. He loves us. It's a mutual admiration. He is the best in the business at covering the draft, and he is Mel Kiper Jr. Good morning, Mel. How are you?
Dynamic duo. Glad to be back with you guys.
I have great news for you.
I heard. RJ gave me the word. I'm going to be looking out all day for this. Like, I finally get back to eating some pumpkin pie. I ran out of whipped cream. You guys are coming through, and it's like I say, this makes my day.
Now, this is big stuff. You should receive 12 today. And then, Mel, there's another 12 that will follow right behind that.
I got to pace this a little bit better than I did the last time you sent me the 12. I got to do a better job. But one a day is not getting it done. I got to at least make it for one can. It's got to at least last 2 days this time. So I appreciate that, guys. You guys are the best.
All right, so let's get to it. We have a lot to do, kind of the recap. When you look at all the teams, are the Jets right? If they're not the top, are they right up there in the upper echelon of teams that did really well in this draft?
Well, there were two teams that got an AA+, and that was the Jets and the Ravens. So it was McShay was happy because Joe Douglas is his good friend there, and Eric DaCosta, my good friend here in Baltimore. So we got two GMs we're both good friends with, and we weren't just being homers. We just weren't being homers for our friends, taking care of our friends. It was that Eric DaCosta and Joe Douglas did great jobs. It just worked out perfectly for both those organizations, where Kyle Hamilton slides down to Baltimore, and they made some other great moves as well, and the Jets saw everything fall perfectly for them. Now, whether it was Drake London or Garrett Wilson, bottom line is they knew they were getting one of those two, and they did. And then to see a Breece Hall, who I always say take a running back in the second, don't take him in the first. There are a lot of people thought Buffalo was going to take Breece Hall in the first round. He was mocked, and I thought people were talking pretty confidently that Breece Hall was going to be a Buffalo Bill, and Breece Hall ends up with the New York Jets. So just for Baltimore and for the Jets, I thought that when you glance at a draft, your initial reaction, it was right away getting for Baltimore Linderbaum, who they had thought about at 14 at one point in time, and Ojabo if he comes through. It's just when you glance at a draft and you see needs and you see the players you really like, it's all individual preference. Everybody will look at a draft a little differently. I looked at it as the Jets and the Ravens having the top draft.
All right, Mel. So I think a lot of people obviously know who Sauce Gardner is. You mentioned Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, and then Breece Hall. As far as the third and fourth rounds with Ruckert, Mitchell, and Clemens, what can you tell Jets fans about those players?
Rucker is a guy, big target, will block. They didn't throw, have to throw much. They had Jackson Smith and Jigba. Keep in mind, it wasn't just Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be a top 10 pick next year. And he had a brilliant season. So Jeremy Ruckert will play. Well, I think as a good number two, could be a one. Max Mitchell's a swing tackle. I think he had a good year, good tape. Senior Bowl, he struggled a bit with the quickness, so we'll see. But as a good backup tackle, could start down the road. And then Michael Clemens, McShay raved about him. I liked him. Pass rusher, tested well. He's got, when you look at him physically and athletically, there's no reason to believe Michael Clemens can't be a situational rotation defensive end. So I think everybody makes the team with the Jets. Everybody's a contributor. I think out of this draft, you probably get, I'll say, you know, guaranteed four star, maybe five starters out of this draft and two key, at the minimum, four starters and three key backups. Could have five starters and two key backups.
Wow. Mel Kiper Jr. with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Were you impressed with how Joe Douglas manipulated the draft? I mean, you have Johnson sitting there. He said he tried to move up into the 15, 17, 20 range. He was getting no's or were not interested. Or he said, I guess yesterday on the K-Show, people were just hanging up on him. But he moved up to 26. He got Johnson. He moved up. He got Hall. Like, the Jets had a lot of picks heading in and felt like they did so well in moving up and getting the guys that had tremendous value.
Yeah, when you get the guys that were, you know, for Sauce Gardner, you know, in the top five for me, Garrett Wilson was clearly in the top 10, Jermaine Johnson at 11, Breece Hall, like I said, had a high grade, Ruckert, you know, had a good grade. I mean, all those guys, if you look at the top three, yeah, you could make an argument. I think a lot of people, I thought the Ravens would look at Jermaine Johnson in the middle of the first round when they took Kyle Hamilton, but he was there, and Kyle Hamilton wasn't expected to be there. So Kyle Hamilton, who a lot of people thought was one of the best five players in this draft, some thought the best player in this draft, is, ends up being there for Baltimore. Now, would Baltimore have taken Jermaine Johnson the second at that point? Probably not. I thought they would have, because everybody looks at players differently based on interviews, and interviews go one way with some teams. We are with Kayvon Thibodeau. Some people thought after the Giants interview, Adam Schefter was talking yesterday after the Giants interview. He didn't think the Giants were going to take Kayvon Thibodeau, but they did. So, and Jermaine Johnson interviews. Some teams I talked to said, well, the interview didn't go great. Well, you know, the Jets didn't care. The Jets grabbed him and traded up for him. So, in Kayvon Thibodeau's case, some interviews, not so good. Some people view kids differently based on interview. Some people, I look at a kid and I'll say, boy, I'll take you because based on this interview. Others will say, well, he rubbed me the wrong way because he said this. Overconfidence. This, however you want to look at things. Everybody evaluates an interview differently, okay? So that's why, you know, these things do affect draft position sometimes considerably.
Yeah, those, I'll tell you what, just from personal experience, those draft interviews, some of them are just crazy. Like, some of the questions you get asked, some are just, some of those rooms are really interesting. So let's pivot to the Giants here, Mel, because I know Dave was all fired up after, you know, day one. They get Thibodeau, and then they get Evan Neal. Now, I know once we start getting into, you know, some of the names later in the draft, a lot of people don't recognize the names, but I thought it was a little bit curious. Now, I haven't seen a lot of them, but I know they have Kadarius Toney already. Wandale Robinson, what are your thoughts with where he went?
He can really scoot. You'll like him. He's an exciting player. You know, he didn't have great arm length, and when you're, you know, a shorter receiver, you're not going to. But I mean, he gets the ball in his hands, and he can just roll and make people miss and explode to daylight. He is like he's shot out of a cannon. So Wandale Robinson, who was at Nebraska and then went to Kentucky, did it at both schools, really. So as slot receiver, you got your guy, and that guy will help Daniel Jones, no question about it. The thing that I would have done, I said, people say, well, what would you have done early? I would have taken Icky. Yeah, but I understand about the right tackle stuff, and that's the thing. Evan Neal has played right tackle for a full year. You can put him out there. It's not going to be something he's going to have to learn or feel comfortable or not feel comfortable with right away. He will feel comfortable immediately. Icky, though, I love Icky. I think he'd have been fine at right tackle, but I get what they did. So Thibodeau, Neal, no problem. Wandale Robinson, second round, no issue there. Zudu's a nice player. He played a little tackle. Projects the guard. He's going to be a guard, but you know he's a guard who played well and keyed that running. I mean, Ty Chandler had a great year at North Carolina coming from Tennessee. Zudu is a player, can move you off the ball. Pass protection skills were solid. That's not a bad pick in round three. I thought he'd go fourth. He went third. Cordell Flott has experienced being a nickel. He'll be a nickel dime. Bellinger will be a good backup tight end. They got a lot of good special team backup types thereafter. Versatility with Beavers can be inside, outside. You know, I mean, there's no question they did a solid job. I probably should have given them a B+, gave them a B, but in hindsight, looking back, probably a B+.
So first draft for Joe Shane, overall, you feel good about this, right? You are a fan of what he did overall. I mean, traded back, right? Jets traded up. Giants traded back a couple times. We haven't seen them do that much at all in recent years. But you like what Joe Shane did? You feel good about this overall draft for the Giants?
Yeah, I do. I think you mentioned Wandale Robinson. I think Sky Moore to me, Alec Pierce, some guys that they could have had that they didn't take were a higher rated for me. So if you want to nitpick, that's why I dropped it to a B. So, it's when you go back and say, well, who did you love when they at a particular point in the draft? I loved Sky Moore at that point. I loved an Alec Pierce at that point. And when you look at who they, even a Calvin Austin III down the line would have liked him in the fourth round, even for the Ravens. That's one of the things the Ravens missed out on was Calvin Austin III, who ended up going to the Steelers. But I think when you look at Sky Moore from Western Michigan, like say, and an Alec Pierce, to take Wandale Robinson, when Sky Moore's a slot and wide, so it's not like they looked at one thing over the other. Sky Moore can do both. Alec is more of an outside guy, but both those receivers for me had higher grades than Wandale Robinson. That doesn't mean that Robinson won't be an exciting player and a productive player, but that's how you have to view grades. So I'd have gone with another receiver at that point. They went with Wandale, not a solid player, good player, exciting player, so I'm not going to dock them too much for that.
Well, grade-wise, so the Giants, Dave's a huge Giants fan, but he was adamant that they would address the tight end position. They do in the fourth round, and they go with Daniel Bellinger out of San Diego State. Trey McBride was available. I mean, that was another name that I thought they would consider. But what's the grade-wise? Where did you have Trey McBride as opposed to where you had Daniel Bellinger?
Trey McBride, to me, when you look at Bellinger, was the fourth-round pick. McBride was a second-round pick. McBride, it was the 55th player overall selected. Bellinger went 112. So if you look at where they're drafted, I mean, Bellinger, Senior Bowl week, you think about what he did at San Diego State. There's a lot to like about Bellinger. Is he a starter? You know Trey McBride's going to be an impactful performer right away. You know he's going to have a great career. Like you said, Wandale Robinson at 43. Do you think about would you rather had at that particular point a Trey McBride who went at 55? I would rather have Trey McBride. So I'm with you on that. Trey McBride, I said yesterday when we did our draft grade show, I think he has a chance to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Kyler Murray won't have Hopkins now for a while. He's going to have to go to Trey McBride a lot. Obviously, Hollywood Brown's going to have to be very impactful, and which should help him. I don't know if you like the cold weather. It gets like in Baltimore in the AFC North in November, December. But he'll like playing in Arizona. He's got talent. So they need Hollywood, and they need McBride is a kid who's a baller. I said yesterday, if he had an all-Warrior list, he would be one of the top 10 true Warriors in this draft. I played for a team that didn't win many games during his career at Colorado State, yet he played hard every week. Yeah, I'm with you. I would have looked at Trey McBride. I looked at Sky Moore, Alec Pierce. But, hey, like I said, you can't argue with the player that they took. Would there have been a better option for me? And would Robinson have still been there the next pick? Who knows? We don't know that. That's the big unknown. They obviously had a higher grade on Robinson than they did on the players we just mentioned.
All right, so it's been an issue for years, Mel, for years and years and years, via the draft and what they just done in free agency. In your mind, is the Giants offensive line fixed? Or are we done with the it's awful and you can't judge Daniel Jones based on this horrendous offensive line? Are we past that? Is it fine now?
Can't say until we see it actually out there playing and playing for a full season. See, the problem with the Giants, as you guys, is they can't pleat their players on the field. They can't. With the Ravens had the issue last year. They couldn't keep their players on the field. Everybody got hurt. And then we're going to judge players. And look at Baker. Baker had nothing around him, and he got hurt. Yeah, we're ripping Baker Mayfield. Well, a lot of people are ripping. I'm not ripping Baker Mayfield. We don't give anybody in football a pass based on an injury to that player or injuries to all the guys around them. I don't know how anybody realistically, if you look at it realistically, guys, how can you look at a football player and judge him harshly and say, boy, he should have overcome that? How the heck's going to overcome that? So there were some things that Daniel Jones, frankly, could not overcome. And then he got hurt. So, yes, will the offensive line on paper be significantly better? Yes. Will these guys get out there? Will they be cohesive? Will they blend quickly? Will they be coached properly? And will they be on the field together? Remember when the Falcons should have beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl? Remember that year?
No,
when they gave away that big lead?
Yeah.
Okay. They ended up as the only team in the NFL that year that had every starter, all five offensive line starters, stay at the same position for every snap that entire year for every game. Only team that you could say that about. And they went to a Super Bowl and should have beaten Brady, right? That's why an offensive line that is together from the beginning to the end and is cohesive is a key to your success. And if the Giants get that, figure out the best five, figure out the best positions, and we go to battle from day one with that offensive line, will they be the same offensive line standing at the end of the year? I can't predict. I don't have a crystal ball for that. But if that happens, yes, on paper, this Giants offensive line should be significantly better.
Mel Kiper joins us here on the show. Mel, so there was a lot of talk about this quarterback class, right? And would teams trade up?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought, I mean, I think you, me, Malik Willis would be, and I had a fruit basket on the line, would be the first quarterback taken. I mean, he ends up going in the third round, and he's the third quarterback taken. I mean, how surprised were you by that?
Well, I wasn't surprised that Pittsburgh didn't take him because it was got down to Pickett or Willis. They were both, what, 17, 16, 17 on the board. It was like splitting hairs. Who's going to be the first one? Yeah, I thought Willis on talent would be. And they say, well, why does one go in the third? Now, would a if Pickett wouldn't have gone to the Steelers, and Willis would have, where would Pickett have gone? I don't know. I don't know who had a high enough grade on Pickett, because the problem became once Carolina didn't trade down and took a player, okay, at their spot. Okay, once they made a pick and they did not take a quarterback, and all of a sudden they decide, okay, we're not trading out. We're going to take Ike Ekwonu, right? We're going to take him at six. Who else was going to take a quarterback? Seattle and Atlanta, you figured probably wouldn't. Nobody else after that in the first round unless somebody traded in. So where would Pickett have gone? I don't know. I did not think Willis would drop to the third round. I did not think, you know, he'd be available at that point. And then Tennessee grabs him. You say, well, why would Tennessee grab him? They have Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill right now is going to get some competition down the road, and we don't know what's going to happen with Tannehill. Remember what happened at the end of the year this year when people were critical of the way that season ended. So he can be developed. Tannehill's not a bridge quarterback, but he's going to be there. He's going to be there for a little bit. We said 2 years maybe, for a year and a half, 2 years is what Willis needs. Now he has that opportunity, and Tennessee can work him in like Trey Lance because of his running skills and give him packages where – he can go out there and fool a defense a bit and have a defense have to prepare for not only Tannehill, but the packages that Willis will be running, the running packages, because he's a great athlete, powerful, fast, all that. So there's to me, that's a great pick. And if he develops into, as we think he can be, or I think he can be, a heck of a quarterback with an upside through the roof, then you got something big time. If he doesn't, you still got a complimentary piece. So you can't lose if you're Tennessee. I thought it was a great pick. You know, this happens. The things like this happen in the draft. It happened to Malik Willis. Ritter even went ahead of him. Desmond Ritter could went ahead of him. So, you know, Malik Willis is going to be a nice pick for them. Could be a great pick. Either way, they're going to get production out of him one way or the other.
Mel, we know you like what the Jets did and the Giants as well. Is there a team or two out there that was puzzling to you, that you're not a fan of what they did in this draft?
Yeah, I think when you look at a couple teams that jumped out at me, I think when you go to the C pluses, and I think that's where you go to those grades and you say, which team, you know, kind of had the baffling pick? I thought New England, and I couldn't get past the questionable reaches and the questionable position round-wise. Cole Strange is a very good player. But 40-plus starts. I talked about him on the Off the Script when Todd Field and I do those podcasts during the year. But 29, when he, I thought, was a mid to late two. George Young, I said this yesterday, the late, great George Young, good friend of mine, great friend of mine, very supportive all those years, Calvert Hall with me, same high school, all that. He said to me long, long time ago, now he said, when you buy, it's just as important as who you select in the draft. That was George Young all the way. And I always looked at that, and I said, okay, that's why we rate players. You spend all this time ranking players for a reason. Well, you got to look at that. Value is important, right? Well, they got some decent to good players, but they didn't get them at the right spot for me and for some teams I spoke to. So Cole Strange, Tyquan Thornton, Jack Jones, Bailey Zappi, they were four picks right there that you would have thought they could have gotten a little later. That's why the C+. But you can also make the argument, those guys are decent players, and they're going to help this football team. So if they're better than other people think, and including me, or maybe you look at me, hey, Kev, you should have, after all said and done, Strange should have been rated as a first. Tyquan Thornton should have been rated as a second, okay? Jack Jones should have been rated as a fourth, and Zappi is going to be reminding us a little bit of Drew Brees, and he's not going to be Drew Brees, but he'll remind us he should have been a first-round pick. If that's what we're saying 3 years from now, then that C-plus should have been an A-plus. So this is one of those, I said, perplexing, surprising, intriguing, use any words you want. The Patriots draft is going to be one we're going to be talking about 3 years from now. I guarantee you that. One way or the other, we're going to be talking about this Patriots draft, whether that how that defines Bill Belichick and the end of his career in New England, because he can't coach until he's 90, right? He's 70. How many more is he going to coach? I don't know. But this draft will indicate a lot, because Zappe and Mac Jones are kind of tied together. Now, why would you take Zappe when you got Mac Jones? They're going to have the smartest, most intelligent quarterback room in the history of the NFL with those two kids.
All right, Mel, you are the best. Listen, we appreciate all the time you've given us pre-draft, post-draft, after the first round, everything. Enjoy the whipped cream. Let's not wait too long to have you on again, but have a good, certainly spring into summer. We'll talk to you very soon.
I can't wait to get the stuff, and you guys disappointed me today. I went and got a top 15 list for next year's draft together.
Oh, come on!
I get one question about my top 15 board. I spent all day yesterday working on it for you guys. So the next time I come on, we'll be talking about the 2023 draft, which will be fun to do, because guess what, guys? Next year is going to be – I got 10 quarterbacks. I can get an easy top 10. You know, I put with McShady over-under on quarterbacks in the first round at 6.5 for next year. How's that? And we had 6 back in 1983. Next year could be the year of the quarterback once again.
Mel, we got to run, but this disheartens me greatly. We'll talk to you soon.
I know. I wasted all that time for nothing. But no, I didn't waste time, guys, because I got whipped cream coming. So I don't care about the 2023 draft right now. All I care about is the whipped cream coming, guys.
Thanks, Mel. We'll talk to you.
Have a great day. Enjoy your summer, guys. You're the best. Take care,
Thanks,
man.
We appreciate it. You see, you... I hate you.
RJ set that up. Stop yourself.
No, he did not. I hate you. I wanted to. Well, yes, we got a guy. You're going to ruin the relationship. He was all prepared for next year's draft. Talking about the quarterbacks and all. Forget it. You're dead to me.
Well, that's how good he is. So now we're
going to
say something.
Don't ruin Santiago's time. Raymond, 3 stars go.
Today's 3 stars. Number 3.
Oh, you've already ruined.
All right,
looking forward to him answering that question, and you just completely botched it. Anyway, number 3 is going to go to the Yankees. 10 wins in a row. Don't look now. Best record in baseball. Check back with me in the fall and see how they do in the playoffs, but you got to be happy with what you see with the Yanks right now.
Number 2.
You weren't quite able to remember my name, Dave.
RJ and Rick. RJ and what was the other guy? Ray.
Maybe if my name was Billy Zappe, maybe you would have remembered. Or you would have remembered to ask Mel the question that you teased that you were going to ask. Anyway, moving on.
Number 1.
Number 1. The Rangers are back in the playoffs, baby. Madison Square Garden, game 1. Coverage gets underway tonight. 7 o'clock. Let's go, Rangers.
Let's go, Rangers. See, you had more than enough time to do a gorgeous 3 stars. And after 3 stars, we bring in one of the stars from KJM. Today it happens to be Max Kellerman. Max, I'm sure you feel pretty good about where your Yankees stand right now, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I'm unsurprised, by the way. I loved what they did when they brought in Kiner Falefa. I thought part of that Donaldson deal.
Yo, it's Jay Williams, and I'm headed to Memphis. That's right, for what is the biggest game of the season so far.
All right, so Jay's on the way to Memphis.
We'll tell you.
And he'll tell us all about the big game. Hi, Max. And now we've lost Max. I mean, we're clicking on all cylinders.
Jay is
here.
On his way to Memphis. That is true.
What just happened there?
So, as I was saying, Kiner Falefa was seen as a throw-in for the Josh Dodd. Should we even continue this right now?
I think it's entertaining.
Let's just listen to Jay for a second.
Jay,
what happened?
Doing?
Am I still here?
He's not even with us, is he? I love
the radio. I love
Max,
it.
let's try again. We're punting. we're punting. You know what we
quarterback are? Quarterback sneak.
Yeah. We hang on. It's second down. Rick, what do you want to run?
Let's run the sneak.
It's third down. What do you want to run?
Let's
run
the sneak again.
All right. And you know what we're going to do now? let's punt.
By the way, I was in, and we've been talking football and everything else. I watched that Lopez pitch again. Then he got suspended 3 games and Buck got suspended a game is a complete joke.
Well, you don't think he hit him on purpose?
It was first of all, there's two outs. It's a 1-2 count and he hits him with a changeup. Why would you choose then to try to hit him? You wouldn't. It was an accident.
Now Max is back. We got the ball. They fumbled the punt. We got it back.
I am hot to talk Yankees. I love talking about Yankees. Never get to do it anymore. Look. That everyone thought, like, Kiner Falefa is kind of like a throw-in in the Donaldson deal. I never saw it that way. He won a gold glove at third base. He can play gold glove caliber shortstop, or at least extremely competent shortstop, which is something they haven't had defensively in a long time. And he's pesky enough to work. You know, he can maybe get on base just enough, right? Look at the pitching. So I love that pickup. Third base defense is better. Rizzo's excellent. Swing made for Yankee Stadium. Judge is tearing the cover off the ball, all that stuff. Look at the pitching staff, right? Gerrit Cole, the hammer on top. Severino was an ace caliber pitcher till he got hurt. He's back now. He's young still. He still throws a million miles an hour. And except for that one bad inning, he's pitching very well. Jordan Montgomery, underrated because he's been hurt. But he's a real – by the way, Nestor Cortez, good little lefty. They got a starting staff, guys. Nowadays, everyone's five and dive. But they have Gerrit Cole and Luis Severino and 3 5 and dives who can do it at a high level with a great bullpen. They're for real.
All right. So we know you have your big show coming up. And before Jay Williams interrupts us yet again, what's coming up today?
You know, Magic was talking about the Lakers and the Knicks need to get better. It's not exactly like he tweets controversial stuff, right? No hot takes out of Magic. But which towns between New York and L.A., which town has better basketball prospects for next year? Not meaning young players, meaning possibilities for next year. Is it L.A. or New York? Is it the Nets and the Knicks or the Clippers and the Lakers? Which town has better basketball, immediate basketball future?
LA.
L.A. or New York?
L.A.
Easy
answer,
fast.
L.A., easy answer.
You think it's easy, huh?
Well, I mean, come on. You got LeBron. You got AD if he stays healthy. Kawhi's coming back. You got Paul George. You got Ty Lue. Lakers will have a new coach. I mean, what the Knicks are yet.
But the Lakers are kind of a mess right now, guys. And the Clippers are a very good point, but the Nets, too. If Kyrie, now there's no vaccine issue or mandate issue. They have Kyrie for a full season. Could be very different.
Max, you got to go. I'm sorry Rick did that to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, guys.
All right. Great job, Rick, just extending that as long as humanly possible. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. This is DPHO Rothenberg, and
let's go Rangers!
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.